Take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bibles this evening. Love this church and love what God's doing here. Let me just say, I didn't have the privilege of going to Youth Ablaze or anything like that growing up in our youth group. We just didn't have that as a church. And I think about it as I get to preach all across America, a lot of youth rallies and different things like that. What a privilege the teenagers you guys have here. And we went to two youth rallies from 7th through 12th grade in my church. One was where it was solid preaching, and my youth pastor didn't like it, so he said, we're not going back to that. And the other one we went to was one where they had the CCM blaring, a soft little message in the entertainment philosophy, and just didn't get anything out of it. But I thank God for this church and what God's doing here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in your Bible tonight in verse number 6. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken thee, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." My Father, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you, Father, that we can stand here, hear the testimonies from what you did in hearts at Youth Ablaze. Father, I thank you that you're working in our midst, and I pray tonight would be the whipped cream on top of the message and on top of what you've already done on the Sunday. Lord, I pray you'd work. And Father, I need your help as I preach. Would you touch me? Would you fill me and use me? I pray tonight there'd be Bible decisions made in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy is the Apostle Paul's last letter, as the historians will tell us. The Apostle Paul is writing from that jail cell there in Rome. And as Paul is writing, understand he's writing to Timothy, that preacher that traveled with him, that young man that traveled and preached the Word of God. He's writing this farewell address, this farewell letter. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, "I want you to know, Timothy, that I'm ready to go home and see my Savior. And I want you to know, Timothy, from that day that I trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior, going down that Damascus Road, I was going to kill Christians and I was going against Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden that light shone down from heaven and Jesus said, 'What are you doing, Saul? Hey, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And I looked to heaven and I said, 'What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?' And on that day I was born again and my life was transformed, and now I started different there. I started to walk in a new way. And Timothy, I want you to know that I did what God called me to do. And Timothy, I want you to know that I preached the Word of God. And I did what God called me to do. And because of that, I'm being executed for preaching the gospel. I'm being martyred. And very soon, Paul was taken. And there he was beheaded for the cause of Jesus Christ. But Paul says, "Hey, Timothy, I want you to know I am ready to go home to see my Savior." He said, "I fought a good fight. I've finished my course and I've kept the faith." What a testimony to have. I'll tell you, folks, when I get to the end of my life, and when I look back in retrospect, when I'm getting ready to pass on, I want to be able to say, like Paul said, "I did what God called me to do." And Paul said, because I did what God called me to do, and there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me, that when I get to heaven, I'm going to take and place at my Savior's feet. I'm going to worship and praise him for all that he's done for me. Hey, Timothy, I want you to know I am ready to go home to see my Savior. And then Paul makes that statement. He says, "Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly." Why? In verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." As Paul is penning these words with a broken heart, Paul writes about this man, Demas. It says in the book of Philemon that Demas was a man that was preaching the Word of God with the Apostle Paul. He was one in Colossians that was serving and surrendered to the Savior and the calling of God upon his life. And yet somewhere along the road, Demas realized that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else will hold the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And Demas made a choice in his life. He said, "You know, serving God is hard. Hey, selling out for God is not easy. Preaching the Word of God and being faithful to God is not popular and it's not fun." And boy, Demas looked out. He saw the pleasures of sin. He saw the pleasures in Ephesus, the pleasures in Colossae. He saw the pleasures that the world had to offer. And Demas said, "Forget serving God. Forget selling out for God." He turned his back on God and he went back to live for the things of this world. And with a broken heart, Paul is writing to Timothy. They're on his deathbed, getting ready to go home to see his Savior. And he says, Timothy, don't be a Demas. Hey, Timothy, don't get to the end of your life and turn your back on the Savior. Hey, Timothy, don't get to the middle of your life and say, forget serving God. Hey, teenager, don't go through your life saying, forget doing the things of God. No, Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, Timothy, hey, don't be a Demas. And folks, how can we do that? How can we one day get to the end of our life and say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. How can you teenagers keep the decisions you made at Youth Ablaze? Hey, how can you mom, how can you dad live for the Savior? How can you grandpa, grandma be sold out to the Savior? Understand, as Paul is writing, he addresses Timothy in chapter 3 and verse number 14. He says, Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hey, Paul says, Timothy, don't be a Demas. Hey, don't give up on serving God. Don't turn your back on God. Hey, don't go back for the pleasures of this world, but no, stay right with God. Stay usable for God. And Timothy, how are you going to do that? How are you going to stand before your Savior one day and not be ashamed before him at his appearing in his kingdom? Hey, Timothy, it comes down to you making that conscious choice to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Why was Timothy supposed to continue? Because it says in chapter 3 and verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And Paul said, Timothy, the reason you better sell out for God, the reason you better continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, is because you're living in some perilous days. You're living in those days where men do what they want to do. They have no fear of God. They have no fear for the Bible. They live for the flesh. They live for man. They live for the things that will one day pass away. And Paul says, Timothy, you better not have that mindset. Timothy, you better continue. And Frank, can I say tonight, God expects you and God expects me to continue in the things we've learned. He expects you and he expects me to continue pressing on for the Savior. What did Timothy learn? Three things tonight I want you to see. Timothy learned and he was encouraged to continue in, and we'll be out of here. It says there in verse number 15, and that from a child thou was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Understand tonight, dear friend, if we're going to get to the end of our life and not be a Demas, not forsake Almighty God and serving God, if we're going to be like the Apostle Paul, understand, number one tonight, we got to continue an old-fashioned Bible reading. Understand, Paul says in that from a child, that word child means the infant stages. Hey, Timothy, when you're a little toddler, walking around in your diaper, barely saying any words. Hey, when you're crawling around. Hey, when you started kindergarten, when you're in first and second and third grade, when you're a sixth grade and a teenager. Hey, Timothy, now that you're an adult, hey, Timothy, as a child, you started learning the Word of God, and you better continue being in your Bible. Can I ask you tonight, dear friend, are you still in your Bible? Are you reading your Bible on a daily basis? Are you studying your Bible? Are you memorizing the Word of God? Hey, it says in Joshua 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 12:6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Jesus said in Matthew, verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It says in 2 Peter 1 verse 20, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Understand, dear friend, that's why the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's why Revelation 1 verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Understand, dear neighbor, what we need in our churches is we need Christians like that church in Thessalonica, where Paul said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Why? Because there were Christians that diligently searched the word of God. And it was like that church in Berea. What do? They search the scriptures daily. I wonder this evening, dear friend, are you an individual that is in your Bible on a daily basis? I wonder, when's the last time you memorized a verse of scripture? And when's the last time you read your Bible through in a year? When's the last time you studied a book of the Bible? Hey, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understand, friend, tonight, what this church needs, what your home needs, is not more television, it's not more time on the internet, it's not more time texting or on your cell phone, but what this church needs and what your family needs and what your individual life needs is to be in the Bible on a daily basis, letting the word of God change your life. Hey, Paul says, Timothy, there's no doubt about it, there's no question it, if you're going to be a man that finishes the race that God set before you, you better continue in being in the word of God. Can I ask you tonight, dear friend, are you in your Bible on a daily basis? Hey, let me ask you, you made some Bible decisions this week at Youth Ablaze. Hey, I wonder, did you read your Bible today? Hey, let me ask you, sir, are you leading your family in Bible devotions? Are you putting the Bible on a place of priority in your home and in your individual life? Let me ask you, ma'am, are you studying the scriptures? Are you letting the Bible change your life? Hey, Paul says there in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Understand, Paul said, I want you to know something, but there's profit in being in the Word of God. And let me say, dear friend, you can turn on the television and there's not a lot of profit in that. Hey, you can hop on the internet, there's not a lot of profit there. But you get in the Bible on a daily basis, it's profitable for you. It yields increase. It changes your life to be more like Christ. I wonder tonight, are you in your Bible? Understand, Paul says if we're going to be what we ought to be for our Savior, if we're going to finish the race that God has set before us, you better continue in Bible reading. It says there in verse number 17, the reason we read our Bible, the reason we study our Bible and memorize the Word of God is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Understand, the way we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, it's through the Word of God. Can I ask you tonight, are you in your Bible? It's basic. You know, the little kids sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I wonder tonight, are you giving all diligence to be in the Word of God? Are you an individual that is studying to show yourself approved unto God? Are you letting the Word of God change your life? What did Jesus use when he was tempted by the devil? He said, it is written. Understand, Satan was defeated because of the Word of God. And I wonder tonight, do you know the Word of God? Hey, Paul says you better continue, number one, in old-fashioned Bible reading. Notice, second of all, there in chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, number 2, you better continue in old-fashioned Bible vision. As it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Hey, Timothy, not only had you better continue in Bible reading, but number 2, I want to remind you of the fact that Jesus is coming again. And folks, let me remind you, he is coming. Hey, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Hey, Jesus is coming again. And by the way, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't care what somebody says on the radio. I don't care what somebody says with their books. Understand, God Almighty is the only one that knows. And when God says to his son, go get your bride, that's when the trumpet sounds. And when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It says in John 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I like how John ended Revelation. He says, surely I come quickly. And John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Understand, friend, tonight, Jesus is coming again, and we don't know when he's coming again. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Understand, the fact that Jesus is coming back doesn't give me a license to go sin. It doesn't give me a license to look at pornography on the internet. It doesn't give me a license to watch those wicked TV shows. And the fact that Jesus is coming again doesn't give me a license to go and participate in a wicked lifestyle. No, the fact that Jesus is coming again motivates me to live a holy and a pure and a separate life, because I realize that at any moment, that trumpet could sound and I'll see my Savior face to face. Can I ask you tonight, are you ready to see him? Are you ready to see him? I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm scared about that day. Not because I know I'm saved. The reality is he's going to see me and he's going to examine me for who I really am. And friend, the reality is I'm going to give an account to my Savior. I'm going to give a narrative for how I've lived my life. Hey, I wonder, are you going to be ashamed at his appearing in this kingdom? Understand, Jesus is coming again. That's why you need to get right with God. That's why you need to get right with your spouse. That's why, teenager, you need to get right with your parents. Because the fact Jesus is coming again. And because he's coming back, because we can see him before tonight's over, understand we ought to live a holy and a pure life. We ought to heed 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hey, the Bible says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch in the prayer. Friend, I wonder tonight, are you an individual that is living as if Jesus were coming back today? He's coming again. Paul says, not only are you supposed to continue in Bible reading, not only, Timothy, are you supposed to continue in Bible vision, but number three and lastly, he says there in verse number two, Timothy, you better continue in old-fashioned Bible preaching. He says, preach the word. And by the way, let me just say this. Paul didn't say, Timothy, take a survey of the community and find out what's popular to preach on. He didn't say, hey, if it's popular to preach on sin, then preach on sin, but if it's not, then tone down your message and go soft on the message. No, Paul says, Timothy, you preach the word. Understand, dear friend, the only message a Bible preacher has, it's thus saith the Lord. Hey, it's not what does the seminary say. It's not what does the Reverend Association say. It's not what does some hierarchy say. But no, what does God Almighty have to say? And understand, a Bible preacher is a man that's going to stand up with the Word of God and boldly preach, thus saith the Lord. It says in Isaiah 58 verse 1, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Jonah 3:2, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It says in Titus 1 verse 3, hey, understand, God has ordained the foolishness of preaching. Hey, it's all about Bible preaching. It's all about the man of God standing up with the word of God and boldly declare him, thus saith the Lord. And understand, Paul says, Timothy, you don't have any other option. Hey, it doesn't matter if your church is shrinking. It doesn't matter if the people are mad at your Bible preaching. Hey, Timothy, there's no plan B. It's not about dramas. It's not about entertainment. It's not about a rock and roll concert. Hey, it's not all about putting all these fancy things on at churches. No, Paul says it's all about preaching the word of God. And can I say, dear friend, in a day and age in which you live, folks are going away from Bible preaching. They're going to this entertainment philosophy, come as you are and leave the same way, but God Almighty's command is still the same. Bible preaching will still get the job done for Jesus Christ. And Paul says, Timothy, as a God-called, God-appointed, God-ordained preacher, hey, you have no other option but to preach the word. Preach the word, he said there in verse 2, be instant in season, out of season. That means you preach when you feel like it, and you preach when you don't feel like it. Hey, that means you witness for Jesus when it's popular, and you witness for Jesus when you'll get thrown in jail. That means you stand up for the Savior and boldly declare that he's the only way to heaven. Even though it may not gain friends, even though you may not be the most popular individual, you preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And by the way, dear friend, that's exactly what Bible preaching is. It reproves, rebukes, and exhorts with all longsuffering. Understand, dear friend, that's what we need in our churches. That's what we need in our homes. You say, well, Brother Schwenke, I don't like it. Understand, I don't like necessarily when my pastor preaches. I'll be honest with you. I travel with him and we preach together sometimes. And I'll be honest with you, he preaches, he steps on my toes. But you know what? I need it. By the way, friends, you need a man of God like your preacher to stand up and boldly declare, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because that's what God has ordained for the local church. That's what God has ordained for our lives, to hear Bible preaching. He says there in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is simply Genesis to Revelation, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Hey, Bible preaching is sound doctrine. Understand, friend, I'm so thankful I can preach on heaven. I'm so thankful I can preach on peace, but understand a Bible preacher is going to preach on hell. Understand a Bible preacher is going to preach on sin, and he's not going to be afraid to name names. Understand a Bible preacher, a God-called preacher is one that has a backbone, one that's willing to take a stand even though the lying liberal reverends aren't on board with him. And there Paul says, Timothy, hey, you preach the whole counsel. And there in verse number 3 at the end, they shall heap in themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Hey, Timothy, the time's going to come when people aren't going to like Bible preaching. What's going to happen? Their ears are going to be turned aside under fables. You know, growing up, Aesop's fables, I hated reading those for English class, but man, we read them. And what were they? They were a story with meaning at the end, you know, story time. That's why all these churches are advertising, hey, come have story time with Pastor Bill. You know, come have story time with Pastor Larry. Let's all come together and let's just drop the standards. Let's just drop the old preaching and why don't you just come and we'll entertain you and we won't offend you. We won't step on your toes. Understand, friend, that's not what we need. We need men of God. We need God-called preachers to stand up and boldly preach the Word of God. And so Paul says to Timothy, I want you to know I've fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. Hey, Timothy, I want you to know I'm ready to go home to see my Savior. I did what God called me to do, and now I'm going to be executed, and I'm going to see my Savior very soon face to face. Hey, Demas, he's quit. He's gone the way of the world. He's seeking the things of this world. Hey, Timothy, you're still here. You're still doing what God's called you to do. Hey, Timothy, you better continue. Continue in Bible reading, Bible vision, and Bible preaching. Can I ask you tonight, friend? Are you continuing? Are you pressing on for the Savior? Are you an individual that is going back, turning away from the things of God's Word, growing lukewarm in your Bible reading, growing lukewarm in your love and His appearing attitude of Jesus might come again today? I wonder tonight, friend, are you continuing? Paul says, Timothy, you better continue. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your Word. I pray you'd work in our hearts. Lord, may you find Christians that are willing to make that commitment to continue in Bible reading, Bible vision, and Bible preaching. Would you work in this invitation? Have your way and will, I pray. Our heads are bowed. Our